Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, these are certainly consequential days, to say the least, consequential days here in the United States of America, and not the least of which is what's going on in the Senate today with Neil Gorsuch, and up there for his second day there for the confirmation hearings for him to be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. By the way, little trivia, and I don't like this fact, but I'm going to share it anyway. Just a little piece of trivia. How many Supreme Court justices have we impeached? How many Supreme Court justices have we impeached in our 200-plus year history? How many? One. We've only impeached one sitting Supreme Court justice in the United States history, although we have the ability to impeach them, you know, whenever we want. The House would bring up the charges. The Senate would try the impeachment. But and only, I think, 13 or 14 federal judges at all have been impeached. And I'm certainly not bringing that up in terms of Neil Gorsuch. I think Neil Gorsuch is definitely going to get confirmed. I think he's going to be an unbelievably good Supreme Court Justice, based on what I'm hearing today and what I've read in the past. I've got several clips from him today, just knocking it out of the park and being as guarded and as protective of the rule of law as you would want any judge to be. So he's not going to tip your hands for you in any one direction, because that's just not his job. Their judge is supposed to be impartial, right? The justice system, justice is supposed to be blind. So, but he's just handling himself so well. I mean, the guy's 49, so we're looking at 30, 35, 40 years on the bench. I mean, an unbelievable opportunity here for solid constitutional jurisprudence, and praise the Lord for it. This is probably the number one reason I voted for Donald Trump myself, is the hopes and the prayer that we would get a solid jurist, a solid judge here that actually understood the Constitution and had allegiance to said document, and would not be a judicial activist, as most of our courts are run by judicial activists today. So I've got a bunch of clips I want to play from that. And then a story that out of the state of Washington, which is not a big surprise, but let me just, it's kind of hard to, like, how do you get into a story like this? After School Satan Club. Okay, that's the name of it. An after school Satan Club. Yippee-ki-yay. Hopefully your child is not involved in the after school Satan Club, but it is out there. Okay, there is an after school Satan Club. So we're going to talk about that. And the reason there, and they're out there in the state of Washington, and they're trying to set up shop in every school in the state of Washington that has a Good News Club, that's an after school, completely legal Bible study group. And then, because it's after school and everything, if you guys have questions about the gospel, knock yourselves out. So the thing about this story, besides being obviously disturbing because of what it is, an after school Satan Club, is the fact that it took them exactly 10 days from the Treasury Department, 10 days to get the satanic cult their tax-exempt status. They applied on October 21st, 2014, and they received it, got it, in 10 days on October 31st, 2014. This is the same IRS that's going after 501c3s of or C4s of conservative groups, conservative Christian groups, that the weaponized use of the IRS by the previous administration, the Obama administration. So in 2014, in 10 days... Now, I'm not exactly a Satanist, right? I'm not out here trying to start satanic clubs in schools around the country or in one particular state. It took us at Call to Action Radio, it took us about six or seven months to get a 501c3 for the radio show, which gives us the tax exempt status. So when you donate dollars to help support the radio show, you get to write that off. That's a deductible tax issue, just like you're giving money to a charity or church. And that took 6 or 7 months for us. And it took 10 days for the Satan Club. Okay, that's not great. So we'll talk about that story. And then I wanted to follow up on my little rant yesterday about Tommy Lahren. So Tommy Lahren, the blonde millennial girl That's kind of a real rising star in the conservative movement, on the Blaze television, and a big social media presence, all that kind of stuff. You may be familiar with her. She's kind of skyrocketed up there in the last 12 months. And last Friday on The View, and I played this clip yesterday, she came out saying, well, because I'm a constitutionalist, I'm also pro-choice. Because, you know, the government shouldn't tell a woman what to do with her body. So it went off on the obvious ignorance involved in that statement from coming from what appeared to be such an intelligent young woman. But obviously on this one, and who knows why, I don't know her heart. I sure hope she repents. I sure hope she takes it to the Lord. I don't know if she knows the Lord, but she's so wrong on this. Well, thankfully, and yesterday I might have sounded a little harsh because I was like, I hope her whole little kingdom comes crashing down. And I do. If you're wrong on life and you call yourself a conservative, I don't think you should have a voice. I think it's that egregious, the issue of abortion, especially in our nation's history. So Tommy Lahren suspended from the Blaze following her pro-choice comments. Reports say Tommy Lahren has reportedly been suspended from the Blaze following pro-choice comments she made on Friday's episode of The View. Multiple media reports claim Lahren has been suspended at least a week. And Glenn Beck said something about it. I didn't hear it yet, but he did say something about it. They suspended her. There was some talk that she was going to be leaving the Blaze, probably for bigger money and a bigger platform somewhere else. But I'm glad he did that. Hats off to Glenn Beck on that one. And is that censorship? Well, no. If you work for my organization, like let's say you came in and you wanted to be an intern, I don't have one yet, but we will one of these days here at Call to Action Radio, I would expect you to be in agreement with my worldview. Otherwise, how's this going to work? I don't owe you a job because you disagree with my worldview when it's such an integral part of what I do. Are you kidding me? So Glenn Beck, who's very much pro-life, for some reason, obviously didn't vet her on that one. But he's going to want, now, can you have discerning or opposing views on your thing? Sure. But when you're on the payroll, well, that's Glenn Beck's decisions. Privately held company can do what he wants. And now she's out there saying, well, she, on The View of all places, of saying that she's pro-life and she's basing it on the Constitution. Totally mixed up. I don't know if it's just goofy, ignorant millennialism. I don't know what it is. But I'm glad that he did that, and I hope it continues to cost her until she really gets serious about this issue and begins to talk to some people, get herself educated. I don't know if it's a matter of, hey, I'm just going to, I'm my own boss here or whatever. But I was greatly disappointed to find out that Tommy Lahren is pro-choice, and I'm glad that Glenn Beck took this step, and I hope that her platform continues to crumble until she gets that right. When we come back, we're going to dive right into Neil Gorsuch, his testimony today before the Senate, and he's showing them who's boss. This guy has done an unbelievable job today. Thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, for that answered prayer. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever undiscovered. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. The Facebook Live, that's where we're at right now if you want to watch the show. And we kind of continue our conversations during the commercial break. So if you're listening to radio, that's awesome. The overwhelming majority of you are. And I greatly appreciate that each and every day. But while you're listening to commercials on Facebook Live, we're continuing a conversation. I think I do a pretty good job of this. Avoid pulling content from the radio show and placing it into the commercial sector and section that when we're having a conversation on Facebook Live. So generally, I'll kind of take a left turn or a right turn and go in another direction or engage a different subject, talk about something else. Maybe it's something more personal. So we have an interesting, different kind of relationship on Facebook Live. So if you're a Facebook person, you can do that right now. Of many of the places that are listening, perhaps down there with the Truth Radio down in Jacksonville, Florida, or St. Augustine, Florida, or up in Brunswick, Georgia, you're actually listening to Call to Action Radio in the evening. Well, if you wanted to catch it live and call in and be a part of the show when we take calls, you can do that on Facebook Live. So just go to Facebook.com, which we all know that by now, /C2A Radio. The letter C, the number 2, the letter A, C2A Radio. And you'll land right on our Facebook page, which is growing by leaps and bounds. We thank God for that, trying to get these conversations and this information and a biblical worldview out to as many people as we possibly can. That's what we're trying to do, overlaying the scriptures and the truth of God's word on top of every nook and cranny of life. And oftentimes that's politics. Today we're talking about Neil Gorsuch. I'm going to play these clips, which are awesome. And we talk about other things as well. Just your Christianity should be infecting, in a good way, obviously, every nook and cranny of our lives. And so that's what the show is about. People go, what's the radio show about, Steve? I'm like, well, pretty much everything. And that's true. So, by the way, tomorrow I'll talk about Beauty and the Beast. I'm taking my 19-year-old daughter to see it tonight. Love me or hate me. And then I'll talk about it tomorrow and open the phone up tomorrow. Cause some people I know that are like, hey, it was no big deal. It came and went. Other people are like, yeah, that really bugged me. So we want to talk about that tomorrow, here on Call to Action Radio. So we'll make sure we do that. But C2AToday.com is the website, or Facebook.com/C2A Radio to join us on Facebook Live. Okay. I want to get to this. This is, some of the, clips today from Neil Gorsuch, who's just a smooth operator. If you're old enough like me, you'll remember that song by Sade, right? Smooth operator. Was that even Sade? I don't even know. I think it was. But anyway, that's what he is. And he's unbelievably intelligent and just unflappable. The guy's just, I mean, if you had an EKG on him, his heart rate's probably not going above 60 all day. So he's just doing a great job. So I just want to play some of these clips and have some comments for you. I want you to hear, if you're not, and most of you don't have the time, good for you, to sit around and listen to this kind of stuff every day. But I at least have a fair amount of time, and I think I owe it to you to be able to get educated myself and then share this with you guys. But I'm really, really encouraged by this and excited to see how Neil Gorsuch is handling his time there in front of the U.S. Senate. So just the opening clip here, and I'm just going to play these things. A couple of them are really short, and then we'll just have some commentary. But, boy, he's doing a great job.
I'd like to have you describe in any way you want to what judicial independence means, and specifically tell us
this is a senator
whether you'd have any
asking.
Trouble ruling against a president who appointed you.
That's a softball, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I have no difficulty ruling against or for any party, other than based on what the law and the facts in the particular case require. And I'm heartened by the support I have received from people who recognize that there's no such thing as a Republican judge or a Democratic judge. We just have judges.
See, and the thing I like about that answer, now this is, you got to remember, we all have to keep our own selves in check here. Because you go, oh, well, I want him to be a conservative Republican. No, I want him to be a great judge who understands the law and has allegiance to the law and to the U.S. Constitution. Now, if he does that, if that's the type of man or woman that a judge is, I know where they're going to line up politically. A strict constructionist, somebody that follows the Constitution, believes in the Constitution, believes in that without arguing about, you know, what does society think or what's international law look like. Now, that's a conservative perspective about the Constitution. So when you hear that answer, you know he's a conservative person. That's the way he looks at it. But he's not there to be a Republican or a Democrat. He's there to be a judge who knows and understands the law and then judges the laws based on the U.S. Constitution. It's a great answer, and he's not playing anybody's political game. Let's jump to the next one.
I have offered no promises on how I'd rule in any case to anyone, and I don't think it's appropriate for a judge to do so, no matter who's doing the asking. And I don't because everybody wants a fair judge to come to their case with an open mind and decide on the facts and the law.
See, the thing you got to remember, and hopefully you'll watch some of these clips later, the thing about Gorsuch is he just is so calm. He's so confident because he's comfortable with his own skin. He's a great judge. Remember, the last time the Senate had their hands on him, they confirmed him unanimously for the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. That's where he's at. And they confirmed him unanimously. So all of a sudden, a little while later, he's Satan. Nice try with that one. Let's go on.
Senator, again, I would tell you that Roe versus Wade, decided in 1973, is a precedent in the United States Supreme Court. It has been reaffirmed. The reliance interest considerations are important there. And all of the other factors that go into analyzing precedent.
Now, this, of course, was a Democrat senator who was trying to box him into a corner to see if he's going to give. And you'll see this. One Democrat senator after another will do this on Roe versus Wade. They'll do it on religious liberty. They'll do it on the Hobby Lobby case. They're going to do that wherever they can. They're going to try to get him talking so much that eventually he says something that they can use against him. But this guy reminds me of Dick Cheney. Did you see the Dick Cheney? Now, hopefully you were paying attention during this election. When Dick Cheney went against our own North Carolinians, John Edwards, they used to call him the Brett girl, remember? And Dick Cheney just mopped the floor with the guy. And Dick Cheney, I don't think, it's like he never skipped a beat. And it was just, Yes, okay, John. Yes, okay, Senator. And then let me tell you the exact reality that you're unfamiliar with, apparently. And in this case, in the country of whatever, led by such and such a person. And it was just like dissecting one after. It was unbelievable. And that's the way Gorsuch is. Gorsuch is just like that. He's totally self-controlled and totally on top of his game. And they're trying to mess with him on abortion and Roe versus Wade so they can use it against him. He's just not going there. Check it out.
Have to be considered. It is a precedent of the United States Supreme Court. It was reaffirmed in Casey in 1992 and in several other cases. If I were to start telling you which are my favorite precedents or which are my least favorite precedents, or if I viewed precedent in that fashion, I would be tipping my hand and suggesting to litigants that I've already made up my mind about their cases. That's not a fair judge. I didn't want that kind of judge when I was a lawyer. And I don't want to be that kind of judge now. And I made a vow to myself I wouldn't be.
Yeah, so it's all about impartiality, remember? Remember the Lady Justice. Remember, got that? See that picture in your hand? She's got the two scales. Her arms are outstretched, right? She's got a scale in each hand. Remember what's around her eyes? What's on her head? What's she wearing? That's right, a blindfold. So justice is supposed to be blind and impartial. For the big guy, for the little guy. For the rich guy, for the poor guy. For the Republican, for the Democrat. For the person with all kinds of education and for the totally uneducated. Justice, and this is God's definition of justice, it is blind and it is applied equally to everybody regardless of their station in life. And so I just love hearing this from Judge Neil Gorsuch today as he's facing day one of what's going to be many, many days of just getting grilled. And the Republicans are being, you know, as you would expect, they're a little more softball in their questions. The Democrats, not at all. And he's just knocking them out of the park one after another. We'll listen to some more when we come back right after this. This is Steve Noble. Hey! Back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Listening to some very encouraging clips from today's testimony, which I think is still going on. Neil Gorsuch, who is President Trump's pick to be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States. So think of this. He's 49. So he could have 30, 35, 40 years on the bench. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the guy's just doing a great job. What a pleasant experience it's been to listen to him today. So I'm playing some of his clips. And if I have some time, I want you to listen to the Hobby Lobby thing, because on religious freedom, it's really important. And it's really, besides the content, excuse me, sorry, I'm still getting healthy. Besides the content of what he's saying and the way he's saying it, he's also schooling them often on the Constitution. And he's just so smart. And I think it's like a dog playing around with, like, you know, the little rodent out in the yard. You're like, the rodent doesn't have a chance, right? But the dog's just playing around and being nice. It could bite the rodent in half anytime it wants to. And that's the kind of the way it comes across to me as Neil Gorsuch is dealing with the Senate today. They have their hands full. That's why they confirmed him years ago when he made it under the federal appellate court system. Unanimous. They confirmed him unanimously. And all of a sudden you read all the verbiage coming out from the Democrats since Trump named him as his nominee. And now he went from being Johnny on the spot. Everybody loves him. Unanimous confirmation by the Senate last time. All of a sudden he's the spawn of Satan himself. So, of course, that's just politics, which Neil Gorsuch, by the way, is not playing that game. So let's go back. I just love these clips. This is very, very encouraging. And I thank God. We should all thank God. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Lord, that we have a man like Neil Gorsuch here to run for our Supreme Court. Hopefully, Father, we pray that he will be confirmed. Thank you that we had a chance to get a judge in that would be apparently, like we're seeing today and based on his history, Lord, somebody that respects the law, respects the Constitution, and is going to be a fair and impartial judge that will be good for our country and not an activist on the bench. So we thank you, Lord. We give you the credit for your mercy and for helping us on this one. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's another one from Neil Gorsuch today in front of the Senate.
That's the fairness problem. And then the independence problem. If it looks like I'm giving hints or previews or intimations about how I might rule, I think that's the beginning of the end.
See, he's just not going to do it because he's all about impartiality. I love this guy. Let's listen to another one.
One of my Democratic colleagues said it is important to know whether you are a surrogate for President Trump or for particular interest groups. Are you?
No.
Of course not.
No, you sit there and go, you know, that's politics. What's the point of that question? After he's been on the stand for hours. Oh, yeah, well, I'm glad you asked that question, Senator, because I really have been struggling with this and really just wanted to get it out because I'm really, my conscience has just been pricked all afternoon. Yes, I'm just here to really be a lapdog for President Trump, and that's my arrangement. I mean, you know, he's going to scratch my belly and everything. I'm going to do what he wants, and everything's going to be cool. I'm so glad. Oh, I feel so much better that I was able to answer that question. And that was a Republican, by the way, that asked the question. And so it's just all the political stuff, which turns my stomach, but... Whatever, let's move on and give Judge Gorsuch his fair time here on the air because he definitely deserves it. Let's go to the next one.
Respected you for calling Chief Judge Garland when you're...
This is Senator Leahy.
...nomination was announced. And I understand you respect him as a jurist, is that correct?
Very much so, Senator. Whenever I see his name attached to an opinion, it's one I read with special care. He's an outstanding judge.
Do you think he was treated fairly by this committee, yes or no?
Senator, as I explained to you before, I can't get involved in politics.
Yeah, rock and roll, baby. So Garland, the judge he was talking about, was Obama's pick, right? Back in 2016. That was that Merrick Garland was Obama's pick. So he's trying to, you know, Leahy's trying to get Gorsuch to make a political statement. And Gorsuch is not a politician. He's a judge. So I'm so glad he just went around that. I'm not going to get into politics, sir. And, next question. Move on.
I will apply the law. I will apply the law faithfully and fearlessly and without regard to persons.
How about with regard to religion?
Anyone, any law, is going to get a fair and square deal with me.
See, they're just it's the same old thing over and over again. But I just now the thing you got to watch this. Do yourself a favor, do the country a favor, and watch some of this because you just got to watch how Judge Gorsuch handles himself because he definitely gets somewhat offended at times. Although he handles it verbally in his body language, he handles it very well. He's got incredible self control. But he definitely there's some questions that he's just like because he's defending the position of being a good judge. I don't think he's defending himself personally as much as he is defending what it means to be a fair and impartial judge. And so it's just great to see him in here, not stooping down to the level that the liberals are trying to drag him into. Let's go to another one. And then I want to eventually get to some Hobby Lobby stuff, the way he talked about the Hobby Lobby case.
RFRA, the religious freedom.
Sorry, wrong one. Okay, let me go here.
And a Republican congressman recently said the best thing the president could do for his Muslim ban is to make...
By the way, does anybody find that on the executive order anywhere, that Muslim ban? No? No, I guess facts don't matter. Here we go.
Make sure he has Gorsuch on the Supreme Court before the appeals get to that point.
Senator, a lot of people say a lot of silly things. He has no idea how I'd rule in that case. And, Senator, I'm not going to say anything here that would give anybody any idea how I'd rule in any case like that that could come before the Supreme Court or my court or the Tenth Circuit. It would be grossly improper of a judge to do that. It would be a violation of the separation of powers and judicial independence if someone sitting at this table, in order to get confirmed, had to make promises or commitments about how they'd rule in a case that's currently pending and likely to make its way to the Supreme Court.
I love it. Just one answer after another. They asked him earlier in the day. I don't have the clip on this one, but somebody asked him about when he first met Donald Trump. And he didn't know Donald Trump previously until he was nominated. And they were asking, you know, was it kind of a quid pro quo, blah, 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 blah. What would you have done if he had said, I expect you to rule this way, that way, the other way. And he just looks him square in the face and said, I would have gotten up and walked out. And he would have. That's the thing about Neil Gorsuch. Now, the thing I want to jump here. And then when we come back in the last segment, I do want to play an extended clip of him explaining the decision in the Hobby Lobby case, which is one of the biggest religious freedom cases we've had in the past probably 25 years here in America. But one of the things that I want to jump to another lane right quick and just talk about the way he handles himself and the way we should, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple of the Lord's, the way you should handle yourself, the way I should handle myself when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? And self-control, okay, that one. Now, this is something that we're really missing in our culture today. Because it's rare when we get into a situation where we're being accused of something or somebody's labeling us with some kind of a description, or they think we're this, that, or the other thing. And then we get so defensive because we're this hyper-defensive society now and not very civil. And so we have lost the ability of civil discourse. Now you've got Neil Gorsuch, who's being looked at by the entire country, peered down at, literally, by the Senate Judiciary Committee before it goes to the Senate for a full vote later when they eventually get through with all this, the inquisition here. And he just keeps his composure. And it's like, it makes me think of Christ throughout those final days when he was arrested, when he's brought before Caiaphas, when he's brought before Pontius Pilate, when Pontius Pilate sends him over to Herod. By the way, Herod, who was quite insane and disgusting, reprobate, debaucherous scumbag, right? That was Herod. And do you remember? So Pontius Pilate sends Jesus over to Herod. And who knows what life is like inside of Herod's palace, right? Incredible, psycho, crazy. Hugh Hefner's got nothing on King Herod back in the day, okay? So Jesus, do you remember what Jesus said? Do you remember what he said? Think about it for a second. What did Jesus say when he was brought before Herod? In Herod's court, Pontius Pilate sends him over there. What did Jesus say? Do you remember? Nothing. Jesus said nothing. And only God knows, and Christ knows, obviously, what was going on in those chambers, what they were saying, how they were tempting him, what kind of crazy things were going on in the room, what in the world Herod was saying. We learn a little bit in the scriptures, but not much. But you know a lot about Herod, King Herod, who was a psychopath. And Jesus said nothing. The ultimate self-control and the way he handled himself with Pontius Pilate. So with Neil Gorsuch watching this today, and I'm sure we're going to watch a lot more of it in the future until he gets confirmed, and I believe he will be. But it was really challenging to me. I'm looking at it going, hey, Steve, can you... When people throw charges at you, when people that you know, when your own family members are disagreeing with you, can you remain calm like Neil Gorsuch? And I don't know if Neil Gorsuch is a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know that. But the self-control the man has and the level of decorum and his civility is really inspiring. If you can have as much zeal and love for the Lord, full of the Holy Spirit, but also have that fruit of the Spirit where we have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Wow, what a witness. So imagine how our witness would change if in the face of all these difficulties, some persecution, the anti-Christian stuff, Bible thumper stuff, that we could handle ourselves like Neil Gorsuch is handling himself in front of the U.S. Senate. It was really inspiring to me and very convicting that we need to have that spirit a lot more like Jesus Christ and a lot less like, I don't know, Tommy Lee. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on. Show the people.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. And do I sound like I'm getting better? I feel like I'm getting better. I think I'm at about 85% today. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. But my voice isn't quite back to what it normally sounds like. So I think I sound more nasally than normal, although I think I always sound kind of nasally. Because I've got plenty of years in the Midwest and being up in North. And so I'm not a Southerner by length of time. Although Raleigh, it's the longest time I've lived anywhere. I've lived in this 8 different states now. In Raleigh, it's 20 years this year. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. I'm 51. 20 years here in Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill, which is just crazy when I spent the rest of my life in 7 other states. So just love being here. But that's why I don't think I have a discernible accent. If you think I have an accent, just jump. Send me a message on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/C2A Radio or go to the website, C2A Today.com. And by the way, I never give out my email address. And it's not because I don't want to. I just don't think about it. But you can email me anytime you want. But you can also do that through the website, C2AToday.com, or shoot me a message on Facebook. And you shoot me a private message on Facebook, I'll reply to you. I don't always reply right away, but I'll reply. So I'm not, some high and mighty big talk show guy. I'm just a little dude down here trying to be faithful to what God has called me to do and the gifts he's given me. So if you want to talk that way, that would be awesome. It's always a blessing to me. And I've been able to refer people to some other folks where some situations or challenges that they're facing. I mean, I hope that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you've been born again. And by the way, when I start talking like that, if that sounds like you're like, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, this is born again stuff. I mean, that sounds a little over the top. Do me a favor. Actually, do yourself a favor and go to the website. Go to my website, c2atoday.com, c2atoday.com. Right at the top of the page, far right, you're going to see a little button that says heaven. Click on that button and you'll see exactly what God says in his word about who goes to heaven and who does not. Because if you're like I grew up until I was 28, thinking that, hey, just don't be an axe murderer, be a decent person, believe in God, the Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that sounds good, I'm good with all that, I'm not a horrible human being, and I'm going to heaven because God grades on a curve, except none of that's true. And so he had to find out what the Bible actually says. What does God say about who goes to heaven? Well, go to c2atoday.com. By the way, if you're a Christian and you want to use something for other people to consider the gospel, it really is a neat page on the website. We've got a great video there that's about 5 minutes long. That's really good about explaining the whole story of the gospel from the back of the Bible all the way to the front and Genesis to the end, from creation to fall to restoration, all of that. So it's an awesome resource there and explains what the Bible says, and also some free resources for you. If you become a new follower of Jesus Christ, our friends at Harvest Crusades will send you a free start Bible and some other information to help you get going in your walk with the Lord. And you can use that for friends of yours as well. That's why it's there. The most important conversation I can have with anybody is about Jesus Christ and about the gospel. So that's always there for you. All right. I want to jump over to this. Neil Gorsuch talking about the Hobby Lobby decision today in front of the Senate.
And RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Congress was dissatisfied with the level of protection afforded by the Supreme Court under the First Amendment to religious exercise. The court, in a case called Smith versus Maryland, written by Justice Scalia, said any neutral law of general applicability is fine. That doesn't offend the First Amendment. So laws banning the use of peyote, Native Americans, tough luck, even though it's essential to their religious exercise, for example. This Congress decided that that was insufficient protection for religion.
The one thing that he's done all day, and he'll continue to do this, is I'm here to adjudicate your laws, the laws that Congress passes. I don't pass laws. You pass laws. So I react to and judge laws that you guys pass based on the U.S. Constitution. He did it over and over and over again. Beautiful play, exactly what he's supposed to do.
And in a bill sponsored by Senator Hatch, Senator Kennedy, Senator Schumer, when he was in the House, wrote a very, very strict law. And it says that any sincerely held religious belief cannot be abridged by the government without a compelling reason. And even then, it has to meet, has to be narrowly tailored. Strict scrutiny, the highest legal standard known in American law. Okay. I've applied that same law, RFRA and RLUIPA, their companion statutes, to Muslim prisoners in Oklahoma who seek halal meals, to Native Americans who wish to use an existing sweat lodge in Wyoming, and to Little Sisters of the Poor. Hobby Lobby came to court and said, we deserve protections too. We're a small family-held company, small number of people who own it, I mean. They exhibit their religious affiliations openly in their business. They pipe in Christian music. They refuse to sell alcohol or things that hold alcohol. They close on Sundays, though it costs them a lot. And they came to court and said, we're entitled to protection too under that law. It's a tough case. We looked at the law, and it says any person with a sincerely held religious belief is basically protected except for strict scrutiny.
Now this is where it gets interesting. Listen up, because you hear what the law says. Any person. So the question is, what defines a person? Is a company a person? Listen to how he handles this.
What does person mean in that statute? Congress didn't define the term. So what does a judge do? A judge goes to the Dictionary Act, as you alluded to, Senator. The Dictionary Act is an act prescribed by Congress that defines terms when they aren't otherwise defined. That's what a good judge does. Doesn't make it up. Goes to the Dictionary Act. And the Dictionary Act...
When I heard this earlier, I'm like, the Dictionary Act? Well, I'm sure glad they passed that one. So if it's not clearly defined, you go to the Dictionary Act to find a definition. What's the definition of person? According to the Congress. And Congress passes the laws, and the judicial branch judges the laws based on the U.S. Constitution. See what he's doing here? It's brilliant.
Congress has defined person to include corporation.
Oops.
So you can't rule out the possibility that some companies...
So you guys want to complain that we treated Hobby Lobby as a corporation, but guess who defined personhood to include corporation? That would be you guys here in Congress. Wow. Awesome. Brilliant. Thank you, Lord. Let's keep going. This is so good.
Can exercise religion. And of course, we know churches are often incorporated. And we know nonprofits, like Little Sisters or hospitals, can practice religion. In fact, the government in that case conceded that nonprofit corporations can exercise religion. Conceded that. So that's the case. Then we come to the strict scrutiny side.
I don't want to cut you off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to get in big trouble with
I don't want to get
Chairman
you in trouble.
Iowa here.
I think I would want you to continue your answering his question.
Again, I'm telling you, if you can go watch some video clips of this later, do it. Because you just got to watch how he handles himself. It's so it's really encouraging.
I'm sorry, Mr.
No,
Chairman.
Please,
I apologize.
No, I want you to continue.
Okay, all right. And so then you've got the religion, the first half of the test met, right? So then you go to the second half. Does the government have a compelling interest in the ACA in providing contraceptive care? The Supreme Court of the United States said, we assume yes. We take that as given. And then the question becomes, is it narrowly tailored to require the Green family to provide it? And the answer there, the Supreme Court reached, and precedent binding on us now, and we reached in anticipation, is no, that it wasn't as strictly tailored as it could be, because the government had provided different accommodations to churches and to other religious entities. The Greens didn't want to have to write down and sign something saying that they were permitting the use of devices they thought violated their religious beliefs. And the government had accommodated that with respect to other religious entities and couldn't provide an explanation why it couldn't do the same thing here. That's the definition of strict scrutiny. Now, Congress can change the law. It can go back to Smith versus Maryland if it wants to, eliminate RFRA altogether. It could say that only natural persons have rights under RFRA. It could lower the test on strict scrutiny to a lower degree of review if it wished. It has all of those options available, Senator. And if we got it wrong, I'm sorry. But we did our level best, and we were affirmed by the United States Supreme Court. And it's a dialogue, like any statutory dialogue, between Congress and the courts.
So ultimately there, you say, if we got it wrong, you don't like the way the ruling came down. The ruling came down based on the laws that you guys passed. So if you don't like the ruling, change the law. If you don't like the ruling, change the law. And by the way, this is a conversation that started back about, 1786, 1787, roundabout in there, when they wrote the Constitution. And so that was the whole point, that there's three separate branches of government. There's the executive branch, which enforces their laws. There's the judicial branch, which determines the viability of the laws based on the Constitution. And then there's Congress, right? I just lost my mind here because I'm still sick. So then there's Congress, the legislative branch, who passes the laws. So the judicial branch's job is not to pass laws, which is what they did when it came to, for example, Roe v. Wade. They turned that into a law. That's the same thing they did when it came to, quote unquote, gay marriage. They just said, hey, you know what? The Constitution fines for gay marriage. So all of a sudden, boom, there's gay marriage. The judicial branch doesn't have the right to do that. It's totally unconstitutional. You don't like the laws that exist? Write a new one. Get rid of the old one. Write a new one. And who writes the laws? Elected officials. And that's why he's saying, you know what I did? We judged based on the Constitution and based on the rule of law. And by the way, sir, those are the laws that you guys passed. You don't like the ruling? Change the law. That's the way it's supposed to work, ladies and gentlemen. That is Constitution 101, and praise the Lord for it. Neil Gorsuch just knocking it out of the park, and I fully expect that he will continue to do so. Okay, tomorrow I'll talk about Beauty and the Beast. Going to go see that tonight with my 19-year-old. Not sure I want my 12-year-old to see it yet, but I'll make that decision then, and we'll pick it up again tomorrow. I didn't get to this story, but I want to talk about it tomorrow. The After School Satan Club. Oh, boy. Does our country need prayer? This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for being here, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.